Blog Talk Radio.
Prophecy Keepers Radio.
This is Yasagonye, Will Bluewater, a seventh great grandson of Samanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. OCO, Aginalii, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
Hello, everybody. This is your old buddy Blue Otter coming to you from Mysterious Ozarks in Mid-America, and we're recording this Thanksgiving Day, 2004. Going to be getting an update from Grandfather Red Elk. We were all been concerned in the near past because of the surgery that he had, an amputation of one of his toes. Anyway, without any further ado, this show will be airing, I believe, this next Saturday. But go ahead and tell us what you've been up to, Grandfather Red Elk.
Well, as normal, brother, no good. Yeah, I almost lost a foot. I told the doctor to cut it, drain it, and I can save it. And he says, well, we'll see. And I was right. And I told him I was going to lose. Well, he said that looks like we're going to lose half of your big toe. And I looked at him, I said, no, brother. I'm going to lose a whole toe, and if you don't do it within 2 days, I'll lose the one next to it, too. And he showed me with his pen how much good skin there would be to cover that half. And I showed him that when he cut it open, I drew a line and showed him that he didn't have near that amount of good skin, and it wasn't going to be half anyway. It would be the whole thing. So, you know, he Christian brother. And I'm a Christian. I don't mind saying that at all. I'm a Christ follower of God on two legs, our example. But nevertheless, and by the way, folks, Christian doesn't mean that I go to any religion or denomination. I just follow the Creator's Son, His way. But nevertheless. He he pulled me in for an operation, afterwards, when I came to, thank God they put me to sleep. This time, I like to watch my operations, and I refuse to be put to sleep, but due to the kind of killing of the foot area, I didn't want anything to do with that. I didn't put me to sleep, and they did. But anyway, he came in and told me, he said, Red Oak, you've been right all along. He said, you were right on draining the foot. You told me at that time there was X amount of pus in your foot, and I didn't believe you, but you were right on the money. And he said, I didn't believe you when you told me I'd only have to take half a toe, and you told me I didn't have that much skin to overdo the flap, and I would need to take the next toe if it wasn't done in a hurry. And he said, I've got to admit, you're right on. I've had to take the whole toe. And I got just enough skin to cover the flap. And he said, I looked at the next toe, and he said, I threw up a fast prayer, and I said, God, don't let me play dominoes here. But the toe next to the big left one was saved. It's
oh, my word.
Safe. And anyway, I told him when they cut it, I said, you make sure I want to save that toe. And anyway, so they saved the toe for me, and I explained why. You know, it takes every molecule that makes up everything in your body, your skin, your eyeballs, your bones, your fat, every molecule is a complete soul by itself. And it runs together with trillions of billions of other soul parts, other molecules that make up the essence of man. And I wanted to do the proper ceremony and burial of part of my soul. So I got the toe in the freezer, and I was thinking of making it into a necklace, but that's a little gross. But nevertheless, I'll do a burial here. I probably in the spring. It seems to be the best time. My wife can put up with it. It's in a container. She doesn't have to look at it. But I had a ball.
Well, it was ugly enough when it was on you, huh?
Huh?
It was ugly enough when it was on you, huh?
It was what?
Your toe was ugly enough for her when it was on you.
Well, it's in with my general looks. But, it was quite black before they cut it. And anyway, it's gone, and it's amazing how big toes not only help keep your mean balance, but running forward and stuff. It's a power tool. So, and climbing and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
I was surprised to find out how important it was, but as a medicine man, people have said, why don't you heal it? And people don't read what I write, evidently. And I told them, we're not, at least in our society, the one I belong to, we're not allowed to do self-healing. Nothing in self, unless an extreme emergency. And we can go to others to have them do the work. And I did. I went down to New Mexico. I went to medicine woman in Oklahoma, two medicine guys in Oregon, and then when I went to Canada, I went to medicine people there. They couldn't do anything. And but I know what brings on diseases, all diseases that you're not born with. And so I spent a number of nights in meditation and prayer with the Creator, asking him, what have I done wrong that is causing this? What am I holding inside that makes this go on? And he finally showed me, and I took care of it, and yet the toe kept on, you know, didn't get any better. Actually, it got a little bit worse. And I said, Father, you know, what's going on, sir? I've done what I'm supposed to do, and this thing should be well. And suddenly, the great vision, you can see that on my website, was shown to me, a section of the great vision where I would be going overseas, and I would have two crippled feet. So, I am a walking example that this vision is continuing on in complete trueness.
Oh.
Got one more foot to go, and God help us if this just continues on. But that's all right. I'm a walking example of something the Creator showed me over 3 days in this great vision. So I'm satisfied.
Or?
I'm quite satisfied. And I've had ample opportunity to help people because of my tone. I've trained all three shifts during, you know, the week, 5 day shifts of nurses, and the three shifts of weekend nurses. I train them in a number of things of medicine and connecting and getting things squared away with the Creator.
Cool.
And three doctors, and every Wednesday I get together with the surgeon and teach him. And just for the benefit of those who are amputees that might be listening, or no amputees that have the problem of the so-called phantom foot, where you're missing foot itches or leg itches or whatnot, or pains. One of those meetings with the nurses, they left one on duty, and all the nurses are coming to learn a little and then go out and teach her, the one that was on duty, on all these shifts. One of them asked, "Red Elk, have you experienced the phantom foot yet?" And I said, "Oh, yes." And I said, I was in there 9.5 days, Red Elk. But I said, "Oh, yes, but I know how to take care of it." So I stopped it, and their eyes got quite wide, you know. And they said, "Well, how do you stop it? We don't know how." And I explained to them, and they told the doctor what I had a cure. And the doctor came in, the surgeon, and he mentioned it. And he said, "Do you really have a cure for this?" And I said, "Well, certainly." And he said, "Would you share it with me?" I says, "Okay, this will be your teaching lesson today." And what it is, folks, and again, anybody that has an amputation and is having problems, or you personally know somebody that does, or are a nurse or doctor that happens to be listening to this, this is how to handle it. We have two psychic, two levels of thought. Our basic level sees the toe or foot or whatnot is cut and gone. So we can accept it. We might not like it, but we accept it. Yep, it's gone. But deep down is a deep, deep psychic that says, no, it can't be. I've had this since I was a baby. It just is not gone. I refuse to pay attention. No, it's not gone. See, it itches. See, it pains. Whatnot. This is your deep, deep psychic. And to convince your psychic that it is gone, there's deepness. What you do, say for instance, cut off leg, all right, say cut off at the knee, for instance. The flap is there and all that also and down. And this, by the way, does happen to people years and years after operations, but it can still be stopped in this manner. Have a friend, preferably, a nurse or whatnot, rub the good part of your leg. Say, the lower upper thigh part, and where the leg is cut off and rolls down to that flap and covering the bone. You take both hands and rub that leg, or scratch it, or whatever you want. And but as you approach that down sweep, that fold over area, don't rub there. Continue as if the regular leg is there. Rub the air, and on out and up the base of the non-existent foot, and work the man's or woman's toe or whatnot, and scratch it, massage it. You're doing it to air, and it can help if the other leg, say the other leg is good, is bare. So that you know the length of the leg that you're, the fake leg, the phantom leg. So you aren't going a foot beyond the other leg, but or a foot short. But, kind of match the contours of the other leg. All on air. and rub it and itch it, and you know, the person will say something like, oh, that feels so good. Now you're just doing it into air. But the deep psychic is saying, see, I told you so, it's there, it's there, it's there. And you might have to do that a number of times. I only had to do it, I think, four on my own too. And it's done. I convinced my psychic it was crazy. It took care of the problem. Now, I told this to the doctor, I told this to the nurses. I've heard of a nurse in California, so that knowledge is going on down there. And another nurse called another one in Maine, so it's going across there. The doctor told me, the surgeon said, you know, we know this exists, and we're taught about it in our medical school, but nobody knows how to take care of it. And he says, this I find exciting, right? And he says, I find it true. And he told me about a man that was younger than I, a week and a half after my operation, had to have 5 inches of his lower leg cut off, and foot naturally, and this phantom foot, phantom leg, and asked if I would talk to him. So I said, well, if he's interested, have him call. He did. He called last week. I explained what I just explained to everybody here. He called later that night, and he was so excited. He says, oh, it works, Red Hook, I got to meet you. You
know? Wow.
So he's learned. Now, at times, it takes, you know, more than 3 or 4 times. It might calm it temporarily for a while, and you have to do it again, maybe a number of times. But eventually, your deep, deep psychic understands and just gives up. The ghost, in a sense. So it works. So anyone that hears this remedy for this, please apply it. And because it will help the amputee. And don't be afraid of sharing this knowledge. There's people in from the wars and stuff still in hospitals and things. And they need that. Car accidents and so forth, and diabetes and stuff. Let it go around. There is a medicine way to heal this, and that's just how to do it. It's Indian medicine, but it's medicine. Thank you for letting me share that.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll put on the webpage so it'll be searchable, so people that are looking around for alternative treatments for FAMLIM we'll get to hear that. So tell us about you had an offer of the authorities in Canada.
I had what?
You said you had an offer from the law enforcement.
Well, not an offer, a request. When I was in Canada for that 2 months, I had no sooner crossed the border into Canada than, you know, one day, you know, stay awake, I turned on the radio, getting tired of the rock and roll and the hillbilly. I switched over to the news, and they were talking about a little girl who had been kidnapped from her bedroom, and her name is Tamara. She's a 5-year-old girl. Somebody went in the house up the stairs, took her out of bed, and she disappeared. Now, this happened just a few short days before I went into Canada. I didn't know anything about it here. But nevertheless, they had contacted a Cree Indian that I know, and had asked if he would come down to do some dowsing. Well, I doused too, so anyway, it turned out that they were trying to get a hold of an American guy named Red Oak. They didn't know where he was at or how to get a hold of him. And,
this is on the radio. This is on the radio they're talking about this, huh?
Well, no. The radio was talking about the little girl.
Okay.
But when I got up to the res head that I was going to, Rick, this Cree, they had called him and asked him if he would go down to the city of Regina, Saskatchewan, and see if he could douse where this little girl was at.
Prophecy keeper,
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
And anyway, they mentioned that they were trying to get all these medicine people together and elders together. And they'd heard about this guy named Red Oak and didn't know how to get in contact with him. And he said, "Well, I know how to get in contact with him." And they said, "Oh, great, where's he at?" He says, "He's 5 miles down the road. He just came in last night," you know. So anyway, we went down and I did a time travel trip. And I saw what happened. And I taped it all and gave it to the police. And quite a lengthy thing, close to an hour. And I told him, "If we don't find her in 2 days, she's dead. Because they're already planning to kill her because things are too hot." And I told him what to look for, the house and the shape of the house and what's around the house. It'll give you a clue that that's a house. And I even stood as a ghost in my time travel forward. Or at the moment, it was at the moment. It wasn't forward or back. I went back to find out what happened, traced her all the way to where she was at the moment. Stood there and overheard quarreling going on and saw the instigators and told them what they looked like and where they, you know, what the house looked like and all that. And they were using quite a bit of cuss words that started with F and really mad at each other. And I taped it all word for word, and because I'm standing there listening, as I'm listening, I'm just quoting what I'm hearing. And so the next day they got an airplane and put me on an airplane with a couple of Cree's binoculars, and we flew all around Regina and found two houses from the air that looked like a good possibility, but they weren't. But we did find one house. The only difference was everything was the same as what I've seen, except the house had a different paint, and it had been painted within, I would say, 2 years easy or less, and different color, but an old house, you know. And they found that house, and it turned out to be a drug house.
And all of a sudden, the police come pouring in, and they turned on this drug light, a big blue light and a big red light, you know, these great big things that light up a driveway type thing, to let anybody know, hey, you know, stay away, don't drop by to get your drugs today. And it was, they found nothing, but they did find everything I told them they would find where this house was at. And but they couldn't find the girl, and they found no sign of the girl. But we did an extensive search, and it's still going on, by the way. And this little girl, this little twin girl, 5 years old, Tamara, she actually drew all of Canada together. People that wouldn't have nothing to do with an Indian. And they're there, believe me. It wasn't an Indian that was missing. It was a little five-year-old twin girl. Somebody stole her right out of her bed upstairs. And they brought all of Canada together. But I was kind of ashamed. I really was. That I missed, you know. The only thing different on that house was the color. The only thing different. A creek was there, a tiny bridge was there, an orange blob next to a certain part of the creek, it was right there, everything, right on the money. But the odd thing is, this is way out in the country from the city of Regina, where the mother is, and she's evidently on drugs or involved in it in some way, I'm told, and don't quote me on it. But anyway, it turns out that just a few days after her daughter disappeared, she had come to that house. And the police found that very, very interesting. You know, miles and miles away from the city. And I'd nailed a house where the mother had gone to, and it's a drug house. So they're still checking. But the second night, we were coming, looking all around that house and all the land around it, and I was feeling pretty bad. I'd let him down, and frankly, I let the little girl down too late now, you know, she was dead. And as we were driving down this road to get to the main road, to go back to Regina, I heard a voice, and I looked off into this big field we were going by, and there was her spirit way out there by a fence, or I think it was a fence with windbreak trees, and this is what I'd seen, that her body was there, and in my mind I heard her call out, and in my mind I called, "Is that you, Tamara?" And she said, "Yes, I want my mommy, I'm cold." And I said, "Where are you at?" And she says, "I'm here, in the dirt." But I didn't tell anybody, because I didn't want to, you know, cause another false alarm type thing. I felt bad that that house wasn't the right color. It was the house, but not the right color. And but anyway, it's been on my mind ever since I've been back. She's in the dirt out in that field. And, I mean, it's been on my mind heavy. And, the police, the RCMP, for those that don't know what that means, it's Royal Canadian Mounted Police, they contacted me here Monday morning, and I shared that with them, and I apologize if I was so late on the information, but, you know, until we go to that spot and dig it up, we won't know if it's more false information or not. But they said that out of all the medicine people and elders that came, all of them saw that she was buried by a creek in tall grass in a field. And they said that out of all of them, that's all they could get. And they looked at every darn creek and grassy place called in Regina, around Regina, not as far out as when I was at. And they said, because of my report, and the great accuracy of it, they're going to talk it over and maybe have me back up to Canada to see if I can locate this body. Now, understand, folks, I am not allowed to call it the dead. That is both against the Anahayoka way and against the biblical way. But if they show up, what are you going to do about it? Jesus talked to one, at least one, that was known dead on the mount. One was ascended, and one nobody ever did know what happened to him. But he was talking to a dead man, at least one, and he said, the things I've done, you can do also. So I figured, you know, the Old Testament says you don't call up the dead. Well, I don't. But if they show up, what am I going to do about it? You know, I'll do like Jesus. He just stood on the mount and talked. And I've done a lot of this kind of work and brought the Yakima Indians to a lot of places that they didn't know they had people buried there, and they find them. And simply because I go out and I request information from the Creator and tell Him, if there's somebody here that's buried and if I can be of use, would you somehow let me know? And He lets me know. And it's always been true. And the Yakima Wakayan, or spiritual leader, and their archaeological guy. His name's Greg. I call him Digger. But they've gone out to some very unusual places and found what I'm talking about. And it scares him. I told him I'd teach him how to do this, but oh, no, they don't have to do with that. But it's a teachable thing. But anyway, they said they'd get back to me this week, maybe as early as Wednesday, but they didn't call, and now we've got our Thanksgiving and the holidays, so I suspect that if I'm going to hear any more, I won't hear until next week.
Yeah.
And if so, I would appreciate the listeners that pray, to whoever you pray to, however you pray, including the atheists who have a God of no God, talk to this one. Talk to yourself if that's the way you feel about it. But they locate Tamara, dead or alive. I have no guarantee she's dead until we find her bones.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that all the elders were seeing what I see, water, tall grass, dead. I didn't know that until Monday. That's when they told me all these elders have seen exactly what I seen, but I was, you know, seeing so much more, they were impressed. So it means that I might be going to Canada, and it means that there's a good possibility it will be self-supported. I'll drive up on my own. It means that we'll have to wait a long time. I'm not asking for money, folks, but wait a long time, or sell my spare car that we use for emergency to make the trip. I'm not into this for fame or fortune. I'm into this for the girl. And so her spirit can go on.
Oh.
Yeah, I will. So that's what's going on there.
Well, what else has been going on?
Oh, gee. I ate some turkey today. Yes, you can call it turkey. We found a roadkill sparrow and marinated it overnight and blowed it up big, and everybody's happy. Of course, I'm pulling your leg. Yeah, we had the daughter and the three grandchildren, wife and I. And everybody stuffed themselves. But me, I hardly eat anything anymore. Matter of fact, I got to force myself to eat. I'm just not hungry anymore at all. Diabetic, and I maybe eat a half a small hot dog, if a half, and a day, and that's it. And but anyway, I ate a little more than that today, but not very much more.
Hey, you and I were talking about the weather. I was told in a dream back in March of 98 that 2005 was going to be the year of the great havoc. And over the weekend, I had called you after Evelyn Paglini. I had been speaking with Art Bell, telling him all about all the psychic readings she'd had, saying that we're going to have the worst winter anybody's seen, and it's just going to be horrible, horrible weather. And why don't you tell the folks what you told me?
All right, what I've seen some ferocious, here, right here where I live, a ferocious winter, but I'm never given the year or time. It could be this year, I don't know. But right a scant 9 feet from the side of our trailer house is the freeways on the other side, and there's an elk that's 10 foot tall fence that skirts my property all the way. And the snow was so great that there was I imagine there's maybe 8 inches between the wires, you know. And the only wire you could see was the top 8 inches. The snow was almost 10 feet deep.
Wow, my word.
And people were making their way across the fence to our house because they're trapped, and we were stacking them in here, and they got to be so bad that people had to stand, but not freeze to death. I don't know. I don't know when. I just know it will be.
I think it's interesting. It's been 7 years, and the August following that word that I got about 2005 being the year of great havoc, in early August, the voice of Creator came back and said, "You have 7 years." And I woke up and said, "You know, well, thanks a lot." So I said, you know...
You sound like me.
I said, you've been telling me all this stuff since 1982 when you said that an attempt was going to be made on the life of Joanne Mary Anderson, that was my wife, during the dark of the moon. And I said, whoever you are, I said, it happened because she died right in the middle of a 3-day dark of the moon period 13 years later. And I said, now you're telling me this. I said, who are you? So 2 weeks later, voice comes back and says, just like this, it says, I am. I am. And I woke up and said, okay, I know who you are.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised he didn't tell you I'm the weatherman from Detroit today. But
7 year periods are testation periods, and I was told to write that down, you know, but when I was told about 2005 being the year of the great havoc because the weather was going to become so bad, I was told to wake up and write that down. Matter of fact, the spirit yelled that last part at me. Wake up and write that down. And I did. And I've been telling everybody about it ever since, that when this last hurricane season started up so ferociously, I went, here we go.
Well, a few years back, I don't know, maybe 11, maybe 9 years ago, the Creator told me, I was sitting in the car, and he said, get pencil and paper, and I checked his voice, make sure it was who I thought it was, but, you know, I always check, even he has a great voice, and so I did what I was told, and was sitting in the car, and he said, take out 4 coins. So I picked out 4 coins out of my pocket. And he said, throw them up and let it land. So they land on the paper. Well, you don't have much choice, but they all landed on the paper. He had me draw the map of the United States. And he had me make lines across the map. And then every coin that landed, he told me, this will be this weather, this will be this weather, this will be this, and on like that. And sure shooting, it is. It's the way he says. But, yeah, I got the map here in the house somewhere. I moved a lot, but I never threw it away. Unfortunately, the world of spirits and the world of man have two different time levels. And, you know, when the spirit says soon, shoot, that's Indian time.
Mm-hmm.
You never know when it's going to come, you know. It'll get there when it gets there, that type of thing. I think the old man is Indian. I don't know.
That's the truth. Isn't that the truth? But, well, other than that, anything else going on?
Well, at the moment, I got a grandson that wants to interfere with this phone call. Let me chase him out. Come on out, buddy. We'll have to get together. Not now. No, you do as Grandpa says. Go Sky. Aye. Thank you.
What's his name?
Sky Warrior. That's his actual name, Sky Warrior Mason. I would like to make a comment. Well, a couple. Folks, everybody wants peace. You know it as well as I do. It's not going to come until you can find peace within your own heart about your own doings and your own self.
Prophecy Keeper, Prophecy Keeper.
On CEO. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keepers interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you. Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
And unfortunately, everybody wants peace, but on their terms. You must be Christian, you must be Muslim, you must be this, you must be that. And as long as you have those rules in your life, there will be no peace. When you realize that we, despite our cultural differences, our color differences, and in culture, that also brings in the religion of that culture. So many are praying to the Creator in the way of their culture, out interfering. There's going to be no peace. They are your brothers and sisters, all made in the mind womb of the Creator, all of us. We came from a womb, His mind thoughts. And that way we are Metakwilash, one relation, brother, sister. But some are black, some are red, some are yellow. And they all live in a different culture. And they all have different names for the Creator. Allah, God, Creator, Great Spirit, whatnot. But they are trying to get in touch with Him in the way of their culture. And as long as you have brothers and sisters who are trying to get to God without doing harm to others, then until you do that, there will be no peace. And peace starts within your own heart. Those people out there who think that God can't love them, for what they've done. Gee whiz, he loves Paul. Named Saul, who took a lot of Christians down with him before he was met in the roads of Damascus. And if you can forgive a guy that's collecting Christians to get eaten by the lions and stuff, he can sure not forgive you. This includes people in prisons, so on and so forth. Our dad made you. He loves you. He does not love what you do, maybe, but he still loves you. You, many listeners, have friends, family, your own children. You don't like what they do. But does that stop you from loving them? Generally, no. And you have to hold that in your heart. Think about it. Love your brothers and sisters. Learn that God loves you just the way you are. He can help change you. That's up to you if you want to call him that kind of help. But he loves you. Take away the bad of the religions. Keep only the God good. And we can get along fine. Leave each other alone. Let me go to my sweat lodge. Let them go to their synagogue. Let them go to their Christian churches and their Muslim churches, mosques, or whatever they call them. Let the Buddhists do their thing. But as long as it is trying to get a hold of the Creator, trying to grow spiritually in Him, with Him, to Him, back to Him, then it's all right. Don't force yourself on others, your way on others. The whites tried it on the Indians, not knowing that the Indians knew Christ long before they ever showed up with their Puritan ways. We did our remembrances in ceremony, Sundance, and so forth. It's S-O-N, not S-U-N, but it's been so long ago, it's been forgotten. But the whites said, oh no, you're doing it wrong, you're savages. And in fact, they were duplicating what the Christ had gone through. The death and resurrection. But they didn't have writings, so they did it through enactments. And the whites came with a word. They had it in writing. So their way was right and our way was wrong. They're both, right now you're at each other's throats. And you're both wrong. And you are both right. Pick out the differences. Throw them away. Quit holding hate in your heart. Our world is going to pot in a handcart and it's doing it in a big hurry. And it is rushing in. Rushing in. It is, the dam is broken. All four horsemen are loose. And, boy, you better get your acts together. Listen to what this old man says. You don't have to believe me. I don't care if you do. I prefer you don't. I prefer that you check it in prayer, in meditation, and find out if this old guy is telling you the truth or lying. Don't believe a word I say. Don't. That's stupid. People believe what they're told, but they don't believe the Word of God because they're told this is what it means. Good Lord, the Creator Himself had it written down, and if you can't read it and believe it yourself, give up. Not just give up. Too many people sit in churches and, oh yeah, well, that's just a for instance. Many of you know where it says in the Bible, God helps those who help themselves. I said this as I talked to many Christians, including those in churches. And I've seen many heads shake, yes. It's not there, folks. It is not there. A man had put that thought in your head and it's caught on and carried on. It says, God helps those who trust in Him. Don't accept lies. And the only way you're going to find out if it's a lie is check the Word yourself. You've got a brain. You don't need somebody telling you what God means. Good Lord, man has messed with their Constitution and messed with the Bible, messed with the Quran. It's just unbelievable. Okay, I'm off my rocking horse.
Well, you're sure right about... When I talk to people about the Bible, I just find it. It's just that most people are pretty close to ignorant about what's in the Bible. Very, very, very few people have searched it. And had one fella ask me, he said, well, how come on this list Bible has to be the be-all and end-all? And I said, it's just a good source because it's ancient and something that's written down. I said, the Bible itself says that the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. In other words, the letter of the law kills, but the spirit gives life. So you can't get stuck in the written word either, because Creator knew that it was going to be messed with. And it's the bare bones, although it's a voluminous blueprint, there's the whole reason for the written word is to get you to understand how to get in contact with spirit, and that's where real religion is. John Red Hat was in his almost 70 when I met him. He passed away this last December, and he had converted to Judaism. He was raised in the old Cherokee religion in the 20s and converted to Judaism in the 40s. And I was living in Albuquerque, and he said that he was attending a Hasidic synagogue. And I said, well, how do you get along with those guys down there? He said, well, he said, they know that, and you never hear this, when people are talking about Jews and the Torah, but he says, they know better than any Jew that there's two ways. There's either you follow the law or you have a direct connection with the Creator.
And the law just shows you what you're doing wrong. This freedom, this talk of salvation, it's true. But he came to give you life now. You don't have to die to do it. You can have his life now. You can, you can raise the dead, walk on water, levitate. You can do everything that Christ did and anything that the godly Old Testament prophets did. I tell you, that one guy was kicked off and beaten his ass, what the Bible says, not a joke. And the animal turned around and basically said, what do you hit me for? I didn't do anything, Animals do talk. I talk to them all the time. And they get calls to come and talk to a sick animal. What's the matter? The vet can't find it. And the animal tells me where it hurts and stuff like that, and I call the vet back, and I've been right every dang time. And the animals do talk. You can learn these things. This is well within your ability. And, well, you said, connect to the spirit. I will disagree on that.
I thought I said creator.
Well, you said the spirit.
Oh, okay.
And anybody can connect to spirit, but is it the great spirit? Is it the spirit of the creator or the spirit of the life? New age has got a problem. It raises your spirit. Now, take your pointing finger and raise it straight to the sky, straight up. That's the way to the creator and so. And then take the finger next to it and put it on a slight angle. And that's raising your spirit too, but you're not going to hit the mark. By the time you get way up there, you're tons of miles away from the mark. And the New Agers have got a problem. They say you are God. And the scripture says ye are as gods, with a little g. And until these New Agers get that out of their head, they are not God, but can do everything that God said you can do. And you can do anything except be him, be Lucifer, or be Christ. You can be godly, you can be Christ-like, or you can be satanic. But you cannot be any of those three people, and you never will be. But you can sure be like them. And until you get it out of your head, New Ages, that you are not God, big G. You are as God, big G, but being a little g. And until you get that out of your head of being a big G, you're in trouble. And you're off the mark. But you're feeling good. You're feeling spiritual. And you do nice things, and I got to admit it, you're sweet people. Got a lot of friends up there back for you. But it ain't gonna count in the long run. You just Dad set it up, here's how to get a hold of me. And it's not here's how to get a hold of you, it's here's how to get a hold of me. And it's there. And a lot of people aren't gonna like what I'm saying. Tough. That's your tough luck. If you don't believe me, that's fine. I told you not to. But consider what this old man's saying. You never made yourself, and your mother didn't make herself. It all started in the beginning with one, the Creator. And the Creator made everything. Everything. And you weren't there. So, consider what I'm saying. By the way, there is a guy, I don't know his full Indian name, I understand that he is a breed, a half breed, part Indian, part white, a Metic, and he's claiming that he belongs to the Cherokee Twisted Hair Society, and he's doing seminars on sex, and there's so little known about the Twisted Hairs. That people are starting to wonder about me. I'm an honorary member of the Twisted Hairs. But understand this, to my knowledge, and to the knowledge of those in Twisted Hairs that I am in contact with, none know anything, number one, of this man. Number two, of any teaching on sex. And this guy charges big bucks, and he gets a lot of action, too, you know, and seminars. And that anybody can make any claim they want. But just because you don't know a lot of everything, don't lay claim that that's what Red Elk belongs to or all the Crystal Hairs. Some parts of the Crystal Hair Society remember all the battles and who was killed in it. So, you know, it's route. They sit and learn from the elders and pass on and on and on and on and on. That's one section. One section in the one I'm with, we're involved with the Crystal Skulls. Where some are at, where a lot are at, what they do, so on and so forth. Others, they take care of births and deaths, who married, so on and so forth. It's not written down knowledge. It's word of mouth knowledge, training from years and years and years of way back when. But nothing to do with sex, so watch it. I'm not saying that there is no sex thing in teachings in Crystal Hair, but I've never heard of it, and I'm not a part of it. And I'm a happily married man. I've been married, I think, 35, 6 years. I don't know, so dang long as you can hardly. But I never cheated on my lady, and she's never cheated on me. And, I don't know, it's ridiculous. Watch the claims that people make. If they're into it for self, making a lot of money, for instance, or in this case, getting some action and some money, then that's self. That is self. I'm not making hardly a dime. Good Lord, hardly a dime. But, yeah. Be careful. Check what you hear. And if you can't find a way to check, just don't accept it as that's the way it is. Just be leery. Please be leery. Okay, I'm off of my horsing rocker on that one, too.
Have you heard anything from Grandfather Rod Scandor?
Yeah, he called me when he heard that I was going into the hospital. And I was worried about me, but I told him, hey, you're worrying about the wrong thing, dude. You know, it's no, I'm fine. I'll be great. And fine, I'm great. This is one of the top medicine men in North America, Canada, USA. Health chief, Rod Scandor. And on Oneida and Blackfoot combination Puba. And because of the lack of respect and all the inviting of various medicine people and tribal people of different nations. He was in constant. You think I'm broke? You ever see that protest? Him and his wife and child. He had to send them to Hawaii, and he went to Germany, where they had great respect for the Indians. And that doesn't mean that they pull out big bills and paying for this event, but they are not ashamed of paying for his work. And so he's out of the USA now, and he's the head of the Red Wedge Society, another one I belong to. By the way, I don't seek these societies out. They seek me out. And I pray about joining or not joining. And our boss says, you do it, I do it. So, I've been attacked viciously. And mainly because I look white. And I do. And I am white. And I am Indian. You can't help my looks. Gee, you can't all be beautiful.
You look like a Métis to me.
Well, I look like that. Unless you go to plastic surgery or something, you can't do it. I didn't choose the way I was to be born.
Uh-huh.
And nobody else has.
Tell me your great secrets deep inside your heart.
I'll see you. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keepers interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you. Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
What do you hear from Alex and anybody up at Creek?
Alex is, he had trouble ever since I've known, physical problems, and I've been able to relieve but not stop the problems. And bad hips, really bad back, hurting bad. But for whatever reason, I've never been able to cold stop it. Well, he went to a shaker medicine man, tent shaker. And the man found a porcupine quill in his lower backbone and removed it from his spirit. And so his back is feeling pretty good, but his hips are still hurting. And I told him, I said, what he removed was a sorcery dart type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the poison has been in there so long he couldn't get it all out. He just got the dart out, which is an irritant in his backbone. So he's still in trouble, and if people pray and have any knowledge of what I'm talking about, that these weird things actually happen, pray for Alex Kahenneke. Kahenneke. Well, God knows who you're talking about. A Cree Indian up in Saskatchewan named Alex.
Right, he was the medicine man up there. I understand there was one particular personality who will remain unnamed that really showed how much he despised you and the other spiritual leaders that went up there. And he got very close to a lot of you. And you might tell people just how serious this is. You know, a lot of Christian people might...
I understand what you're
saying. You know, about curses, but these things are very ancient. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, whatever you feel you should?
Well, number one, the scriptures does say that this is a spiritual battle. You find it in there somewhere, you know. And spiritual doesn't necessarily mean unseen, because if anybody is familiar with scripture, one of the prophets or something said, open their eyes so they can see the army that surrounds them. And certainly everybody's seen thousands of angels, you know, but they didn't see them before. And this is a way of the Spirit, that some of us can see these things. I had a talk with a whole bunch of angels here about 3 days ago. Yeah, it was 3 days ago. That nobody else could see. But I'm sitting there talking with the whole lot. And but nevertheless, it's just, if you're right with the Creator, you'd be surprised what you can find out.
Uh-huh.
This is Christians included. And yes, the black side is very, very active. That work has never quit. It's just, and matter of fact, it's really starting to come out strong now. Really strong, because the four horsemen are loose. And it's the time of Lucifer. It's the time of the blackness. And it's going to get a lot worse, folks. A lot worse. And if you don't believe in this stuff, well, that's okay with me. That's your problem. But what I'm saying is the truth. I don't need to be, you know, pulling your leg and coming down as, you know, a liar. I got a lot of people calling me that, any Indians and whites alike, but that's their problem.
What? Another medicine person who I may unnamed, I spoke with him last night, and he said that that there are three, in North America, there are three really large black medicine areas in North America. One's in Mexico, one's up around Shiprock, and he said the other's up around Crete. He says there's lots of little satellites, you know.
Oh yeah, lots of satellites, and yes, he's right on the money.
But he said this is serious. This is really serious.
Oh yeah, shape-shifting and unbelievable. And our government, our black ops government, have got most of these people working for them, paying them.
Isn't that interesting?
This is not just USA, this is Canada.
This is what Nazis were into. They were into the same kind of stuff.
Well, the Creator has given us all power at birth. All power, whether it's for yourself or for Him. A witch, a sorcerer, satanic believer, whatever. They use the same identical power that I use, the same abilities by that I mean. Because the abilities were given to everyone. It's really up to you whether you're going to use it to help others and keep your head out of the air, or out of your rear, you know. Don't take credit. And then you're doing it, and always check to see if you are to do it before you do it. And make sure of the checking. And then follow what you're told to do. And don't take credit for it. All you can do is be willing, and He will make the contact, either send you to them or them to you. and then you carry out what he tells you to do, and you have checked on, and take no credit. And people have asked me, how much do you charge for this or that? I charge nothing. I tell them, I look them in the eyes. I need money. I'm trained in this work. This is my profession, my job. I've learned how to put hamburgers at McDonald's here, in a sense, you know. And you pay that guy. And I'm certainly sure that I and other medicine people deserve some values of some type. This is how I pay my bills and eat. But I look at him and I said, that is not up to me to tell. That's between you and the Creator. And you just make sure that it's a Creator telling you. And then give accordingly, or don't give, if that's what you feel. Most of them don't feel, I guess, but they walk away. Just don't do anything in self. Your worst enemy is not the Luciferian platform. Your worst enemy is yourself. All he can do is tempt you. You're the one that runs with the ball.
Well, that's certainly true.
Let me say this, that when you start getting heady about the Creator using you, he's going to put your little pot on the shelf and use you again.
Did I lose you?
No.
Oh, yeah, you faded out a little bit there. Yeah, you'll find out. And, you'll never even really know. You start getting a big head about this, and then Creator could walk away, and then his little black prince could walk right up and take right over.
I've seen a lot of people who claim they're starting out right, and some do, but that dang teddiness gets in the way. And that takes them down the wrong path.
Mm-hmm.
It's just for self-prestige, money, whatnot, and... you don't believe if you don't believe I'm not into this for money, you're crazy. I paid out almost $3,000 in income tax, and it was only because I don't know nothing about income tax, and I turned it into an accountant who took what I gave him, and I ended up paying $800 back. And the friend said, boy, this is wrong. He went through it and put a stop on the income tax, and I got $3,800 more than I paid. $3,800 back.
Well, that's good.
It's because most of what I make, I'm either giving it away or using it to help others. And tax deductible, I don't know. I just have to do what I got to do. By the way, my website is going to be changed. It should have been changed this week, so it's going to change really quick. Taking off some things, I'm adding other things, including the pictures of those towers, what I call the circles in the sky. But a lot of things are going to be taken off. Some major changes are going to be made. And... I would recommend that if anybody can burn that, the old website, the one that's still on the air now, is green background, do so for reference purposes, because a lot of that reference stuff will be off. And my form should be off in about a month and a half or so.
Well, I believe you're paid up till March.
I don't know. I don't do it. I mean, I pay it, but I just don't know how to handle my affairs. Somebody else takes care of it. But nevertheless, burn that form off. It's got just about any question that people would ask. And it's got answers if there's answers available. It's a 9-hour read, so expect a long burn. But it's going to be off the air. I'm slowly phasing out and walking into a new area. And, I'm probably quitting doing any more schoolings here on my land. And travel, yes, travel is in ahead. And if people would like to have me come to their area and talk, you're going to have to pay. You're going to have to pay my transportation, food, room, on the way there, on the way back, and while there, and pay for the teaching. And I have found that if you don't pay, you think it's trash, and screw you. I'm sorry, boy. I spent 41 years of my life learning, and I got to eat too. But for healing and stuff, I say it's between you and the Creator. But you can contact me through Blue Heart or something.
You're
dead serious about it.
You're at redelk.org.
Yeah, and the net the forum is redelk.net. But please pay attention if you're interested. Burn these things off now. Get them now because you might not have it till Monday on the forum. On the website. It's the guy just hasn't made it up here to make the changes. He's got the changes all made. It just come up and put it on my computer. When you see the blue background, you know that's the new revamped website.
Sounds good. Well, maybe we ought to, if you're,
I'm
you like you're done, maybe I'll let you get back to your grandson.
Oh, guys, this has been a pleasure. Well, by the way, I've been training him each night. He's learned now how to do time travel. he wants to learn how to shapeshift, and I said, well, I had to be honest with you, son, that takes years and years to learn that, and you're only 8 years old, and you have to be at least 28, at least, to even comprehend what I'm talking about so that you can grasp how to do it. So I'm not going to do that for him, but he wants to learn how to levitate, his brother does, a lot of things. The kid is—he's really, really interested. And let's see. There was another thing he learned here last week. How to go upstairs to his upstairs knowledge and search out what he already was born with, and learn from it and do it. And really fascinating. Just a little 8-year-old kid, and not hardly 8. He's learning.
Best time to get them is when they're little and the believers.
Oh, yeah.
They're childlike. I was a little different. I believe in Santa Claus until I was 13, not because I was stupid, but I just chose to, you know.
Well, folks, I do have things for sale on my website. And I tell you the truth, if you don't want to spend any money, start talking to Pop. Get squared away. He can teach you. He taught me a heck of a lot. Or most of it, really. And it's free. It's in the Bible. If you pick it up and ask Dad to help you understand the Word, never mind the man teaching. It's free. I charge because I'm doing your homework. You're too dang lazy to look it up yourself. But yes, you can levitate. Yes, you can raise the dead. Yes, you can change water to wine. Yes, you can make money appear in a fish's mouth if you need to. And do I do that? I've done just about everything. But like I said, though, there's certain things you don't do for self. You know, I just don't make money appear. And I know how. I help others do it because they're not to my training and not to the standard that I have to adhere to. But anyway, it's all there. It's all free. You do not have to buy it. You can go out and get your knowledge yourself. But if you're speeding up, that's fine. Buy it. It helps me pay bills. And it's up to you. Totally up to you. There's a lot of word going out that I'm a sorcerer. Oh, my gosh. I fight this left and right. Not the word, but sorcery. And I'm involved in a couple of fights now against Russia. And folks, if sorcery is self. You know, one minute you can do good stuff, the next minute for pay you'll do what's needed. I'm not into that. It's just not my way. Yes, I do know how. I was trained in that for 8.5 years, just to know the enemy. So believe me, I know how. But don't you do it, but I can sure recognize it when it's done. And that's why I was trained for 8.5 years, to be able to know the enemy the way he works. And his little helpers, you know, the people that take that up. And no, I'm not into it. But I don't know. By the way, I make no claims to being an Indian. I am a breed. I am part Blackfoot. Not Blackfeet, Blackfoot, Shoshone, French, and Irish. And like I said, I have no choice the way I look, the way I was born. And I'm a breed, and I have no shame in calling myself a breed. That's what they called us way back when I was a kid. Now it's you got to be, meat, metic, whatever.
Métis.
Yeah, Métis. And, I'm Métis in that sense.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide. And then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
I'm really amazed at the number of so-called full-blood Indians that attack me, but I find out that their grandfather, not great-grandfather, but grandfather himself, full-blood white man, but they come out looking red and they don't want to let anybody know about it.
Yeah.
They're ashamed for whatever, for too damn much pride in the redness. It's time to be open and honest, honest with yourselves. If you aren't honest with yourselves, you're going to have a heck of a lying life and one heck of a terrible time afterwards. Get right with the Creator, this great one, neither he nor she, but he or she, if that's what you believe, or cosmos, if that's what you believe, this great one that exists, and get right with him. And believe me, he loves you just the way you are at this very moment, whether you're sitting in a prison or a businessman or with filthy, dirty thoughts in your head and heart, he still loves you. Get right with him. He can take care of that. And then learn to love one another. First, learn to love yourself because God loves you. And then learn to love one another. And quit forcing your opinions and your cultural ways on others. They're trying to reach the Creator, too, unless they're of a satanic religion. So, I guess I'll leave you with that. And the request to pray for Tamara, that she's bound one way or the other. And that if I am called, maybe you can back me that I'm not looking for money, I'm asking for prayer that this little girl, whether I'm the one that can go there and locate her, dead or alive, or somebody else, pray for Tamara. Okay?
Okay. Well, thanks for being with us, Grandfather Red Elf.
Yeah. Okay.
Let the truth be known.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius.
Another time, let the wind blow. kind again. Let the wind blow. Let the truth